I don't know about you, but we're always looking for ways to get our kids involved and give back in our local community. That's why we're excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers. Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. I would love for Violet to do this program when she's in high school.
This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, it's also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.
I can't believe you went to Ojai without me.
I know. Ojai cheated. Sorry. We can go again.
I think we need another retreat.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Liz Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner of 18 years, Sarah.
That's me, Sarah Fain. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In this episode, we'll discuss our much-needed self-care weekend getaways and whether we successfully relaxed or not. And this week's Hollywood hack from a cast member of The Fix will up your selfie game. Then, Sarah, you and Violet had a pet store celebrity sighting.
Yes. But first, we want to depart from our usual From the Treadmill Desk Sub segment to pay tribute to Suzanne Patmore Gibbs, the head of TriStar Television and a true advocate for women in Hollywood who left us far too soon.
Suzanne had an enormous impact on our career and on the careers of countless women we know. She was one of the most vibrant people we've ever worked with, and it's hard to even process the enormity of her loss.
Yeah.
She died recently, very unexpectedly, and she was only 50.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar with Suzanne, we took this summary of her career from Deadline. Suzanne had been serving as the head of Sony imprint TriStar Television since the division was relaunched in May 2015. The company's first pilot was the 1960s set newsroom drama Good Girls Revolt at Amazon. She was a vocal supporter of the feminist drama and fought hard to shop the series after Amazon's controversial decision to cancel the series shortly after its debut. Before TriStar, Suzanne was executive VP of drama development for Sony Pictures Television, where she and her team developed series including The Blacklist at NBC, Masters of Sex at Showtime, Outlander at Starz, and Bloodline at Netflix. As a high-ranking executive at Touchstone and ABC, Suzanne helped develop such shows as Desperate Housewives, Grey's Anatomy and its spinoff Private Practice, Lost, Ugly Betty, Brothers and Sisters, Pushing Daisies, and Dirty Sexy Money.
Yeah, I mean, we should say that Shonda Rhimes credits Suzanne with getting Grey's Anatomy on the air because Suzanne was under Steve McPherson, who was at the time the president of ABC when Grey's Anatomy premiered, and he did not want to put it on the air, and Suzanne fought and fought to get it on the air, and of course it was like the biggest hit ABC has ever had.
And continues to be.
And continues to be a huge hit, yes. It's really hard to overstate the enormity of, like, the loss of Suzanne to the TV community. She's just someone that everyone knew.
Yeah.
And she was just so, she had such a big personality, and she was so vibrant and vital. She really made an impact wherever she went. So we wanted to talk about what are some of the lessons we've gotten from Suzanne. And, you know, they apply not just to those of us in the TV community, but, you know, to the world at large.
Yes, they do. And our first lesson from Suzanne came way back in 2006 when she gave us notes on the first draft of Women's Murder Club. And we were so rattled that we wanted to quit.
Yes. She was the ABC network executive who was overseeing Women's Murder Club. And we've talked a lot on this podcast about the notes process and how hard it can be. And that was way back when we had never done a pilot before and we didn't know how hard, the process was.
Yeah, everything we've learned over the last 10 years, we had not learned yet.
Yes. And so Suzanne gave us all of these notes and we basically went home and had a total meltdown and we're like, we should quit this project. We don't know what we're doing. You know, someone else should do it. And eventually our executive at the time was Patrick Moran, who's now the head of ABC Studios. Yeah. But he talked us off the ledge and was like, no, this is all normal. I mean, what we realized is it's just that's the process.
Yeah.
And what in retrospect was really lucky about that situation was, look, it was our first pilot. I'm sure it was a total mess.
Exactly.
Suzanne could have just written it off and said, oh, my God. Forget this.
These writers
project.
Suck. Off they go.
I'm not going to spend my time on it. Instead, she took an hour and a half to sit down with us and go through exactly, you know, what we needed to do and ultimately went to series.
Yeah. No, she really dove into it with us and she never gave up on that project. And she taught us that we were going to have much thicker skins if we wanted to create shows.
Yes, and which we now have.
Which we do, thank God. And that we were going to have to be fighters.
Yeah.
And Suzanne was for sure a fighter. And she fought especially for women's voices, ours and Shonda Rhimes, memorably for Good Girls Revolt, and for countless others. We were doing the Model Woman pilot with Helen Childress, and Suzanne developed that at Sony. And so we spent a lot of time in New York with her, and she was so excited for Good Girls Revolt and really felt like it was making a statement that needed to be made in the world.
And I have to point out that was before Time's Up and Me Too. And it sort of was prescient because it was all about the sexism and misogyny of the news business in the 60s. So it was definitely ahead of its time.
Yes, it was. And Suzanne was known for finding talent and launching the careers, not just of writers, but of executives.
Yes.
Including many women who are now running major companies in Hollywood.
Yes. Which brings us to another lesson. Suzanne was a connector of people.
Yes.
And it's a rare skill and it's one we should develop.
It is. It's one of the things I admire most in other people and something I really want to work on. She connected us to Helen Childress, who's one of our favorite people to work with ever.
Absolutely. Helen created Model Woman, but she'd never done a pilot before, so they wanted her to have some more seasoned people helping her execute the pilot, and we were those people. And it was such a fabulous experience, which brings me to the next thing I want to say about Suzanne. Which was that I consider her the wine and cheese fairy.
Yes. Oh, my God.
On Model Woman, the pilot we were just mentioning, when we were all completely worn down in editing and felt like, you know, we couldn't take another step in this project, Suzanne showed up with wine and cheese and
energy.
And energy and lightness and was like, come on, guys, let's do this. And she really like sat there and dug in with us and not only like did the work with us, which we really needed at that point, but made it fun.
Yeah.
Which we probably needed even more.
Right. Exactly. And then a lesson we wish we could master, but probably never will, is Suzanne's incredible fashion sense.
Yes. The woman was so well dressed. I mean, every time I'm out shopping, Sarah, which isn't that often, but like I'll see a dress and I'll be like, okay, that's a dress Suzanne Patmore Gibbs would buy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what she would wear.
Totally.
And now could I pull off one of these dresses? No, but it was like my dream in life was like to be able to pull off a Suzanne dress and afford it, like both at the same time.
Right.
And have an occasion to wear it.
Well, that's the other trick, yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But she always looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's something I struggle with. you struggle with it less than I do.
I think the Suzanne bar, honestly, is too high for me.
Right.
I will never attain it.
Yeah.
But it's a good goal.
Because, I mean, the thing is that it tells us, which we've talked about on this podcast and I've talked about on Happier, the podcast I co-host with my sister, Gretchen, is like, what you wear and how you present yourself does matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes an impression.
And I think she really made an impression by always looking fabulous.
Yes. The most important lesson I would say that we learned from Suzanne is to prioritize our lives over our work.
Mm.
Suzanne had two kids, and it was so clear that her priority in her life was her kids and her husband. They took amazing vacations.
Yes. I'd,
like, so enviable. She would post things on Facebook, and I'd be like, oh, I want to go there. Yeah. Oh, I want to go there, and I want to wear that dress while I'm there. And she was so close to her parents and her brother. Like, she just had an incredibly close-knit family and circle of friends.
Yeah. And it was amazing that with such a high power job, and we knew her through her time of having a few different jobs, each more high powered than the last.
Yeah.
She still was able to make time for family and friends. And that is definitely, the way to live. I mean, that's the thing. She lived to the fullest. There's no question about that. The lesson that I take is be someone who will be missed.
Yeah.
It's like take the extra step, just do it and be that person who makes an impact on the people around you, both, in work and in life. And really, work and life are the same thing. I mean, it's like we can't just drudge around and work. We need to, enjoy it, elevate it, have it be something that is personal to us, because, we don't know how much time we have and we should be enjoying all aspects of life. And she really did that.
Yeah.
And Sarah, we wanted to mention that Suzanne's family is asking that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to either Children's Institute, Inc. or Girls, Inc., which were two of her favorite charities. And we will link to both of those in the show notes. And next up, Sarah and I will discuss our self-care weekend getaways, something Suzanne would definitely have approved of.
Yes.
But first, an ad break.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Hollywood. That's storyworth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
All right, Liz, now it's time for Take a Hike, in which we talk about mental, physical, or spiritual health. And today it is mental health. And we certainly need some care in that department. So we took self-care weekends after some pretty brutal months of hard work. We just needed a little self-care, a little relaxation. But did our long weekend getaways do the trick?
Well, I went to Palm Springs with Jack and Adam. It was sort of great and sort of not. I just could not fully relax.
Yeah.
The pilot was definitely on my mind most of the time. I think I felt like I should have, we finished shooting on a Thursday. We had some things we had to do on Friday. And then Saturday morning, we went to Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. And I think I felt like I was supposed to be so euphoric and relaxed that the pressure on myself to enjoy these very few days off was too immense. And there I was out of sorts.
Right.
I was irritable and grumpy.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it was I wanted to be so euphoric, but I only had a very short time to be happy.
Yeah. See, I sort of had the opposite in a way. Well, not in a good way. So Violet and I went to Ojai. Mm-hmm.
One of our favorite places.
Yes. And I think after all of these weeks of hard work and not seeing me that much, she was grumpy.
So interesting.
I was like ready to relax and take deep breaths. And she was more like, now I'm going to start testing all my boundaries again.
And
you know, remind you that like you're in charge and can't just like relax all the time. So it was really fun. We did the Easter egg hunt that they have at the Ojai Valley Inn and, you know, brunch. We went to this amazing turtle conservancy that they have in Ojai. Like, we did, and of course, Violet swam every single day, even though it wasn't warm for a couple of the days. She doesn't care about that. Right. She just wants to swim for hours on end. So we had a great time, but it was a lot about sort of getting sort of our parental child roles back in order.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I will say when I got home, well, on Friday before we left, Jack came up and hugged me. Aww. And he said, it's hard to be away from the woman who gave birth to you, which just cracked me up. But in terms of like actual self-care, I will say I did a spa treatment, which was really lovely. It was the agave body glaze. And it was like where they slough off all the dead skin. I'm like, after being on set for 14 days, I need all dead skin. And sloughed off my body.
Like set smell, just get rid of it.
brush. And then, you know, I was, all this lovely stuff was put on my body. I don't know what it was exactly. And I got a massage. She's like, do you want therapeutic? I'm like, no, relaxation massage. I don't want anything that's going to hurt.
Right.
But the problem is, like, the whole time I was like forcing myself to unclench my jaw. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I was just still in that state of mind.
Yeah.
So I kept telling myself, unclench your jaw, relax, enjoy this. You probably have another 60 minutes. Now you have another 50 minutes of this. Relax.
Oh my God.
Enjoy. So it was wonderful, but it was still like my brain on overdrive.
Yeah. Now,
what did you do for yourself?
I, one morning, sent Violet to Camp Oak, which is like the kid camp that they have there. So I had a four-hour block of time, during which I had a work call with the director of our and then I went to the Artist's Cottage, which is a lovely little cottage at the Ojai Valley Inn. It sounds like I'm just constantly doing an ad for them. This is not. I didn't get anything off of my trip. But I did a scent-making class.
Was it just you or was it a group?
It was just me. And the woman who... I don't know, or a scentologist. I don't know what that is. But she pulled out 40, what are they called? 40 essential oils, I guess. And I smelled all of them and used coffee, smelling coffee as kind of a nose palate cleanser.
Interesting.
And picked my favorites, and then I mixed a scent. Because one of my 18 for 2018 things that I want to do, which is like a list that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, and you also talk about it on Happier with Gretchen, is, you know, 18 things that we want to do in this year. And my first one was find a signature scent.
Yes, and you're still searching.
I'm still searching.
Because I hear the... I smell the samples.
Yes, exactly. And I brought in a lotion made with the signature scent that I made for you to smell. And I like it. I don't think it's like... going to define like my year or anything.
Okay. So it's a good scent, but not the signature scent.
Yeah. And
we're
it was a really fun experience to do that. And it was relaxing.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, Sarah, being your writing partner and friend, I know that you also, while you were at Ojai, sort of had a sugar attack.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So your New Year's resolution is year of living sugar freely.
Yes.
But you're allowing yourself 10 days to have sugar. And you'd only used one of them before you went to Ojai. And you had told me, I'm going to use one of my sugar days.
Yeah.
And I said, which day? And you hadn't decided yet.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, what happened is I decided Easter was going to be my sugar day. But then the day before Easter, Violet ordered a creme brulee. And then she... took a bite and didn't like it. And I was like, I'm at the Ojai Valley Inn and it's a creme brulee. I know it's going to be amazing. That's like my favorite thing. So then I ate the creme brulee. Mm. But then the next day was Easter and there was Easter candy everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the next day there was still Easter candy. Yeah. And then they have this chocolate cake, which is gluten-free. And how often do you find a gluten-free chocolate cake? So anyway, I burned through. This is so awful. I burned through three of my sugar days in Ojai. So now I've used four of my 10. And I felt like crap.
Oh,
I
was gonna
ask. Bad.
So physically, you felt bad after eating all the sugar.
Terrible.
Okay. Well, hopefully then that'll be inspiration, you know, to not have more sugar day, unplanned sugar days.
No, for sure. I really did learn the lesson that, like, it's so not worth it.
Gosh, it's going to end up being a life of living sugar-freely.
I know. I think it might be because it was gross.
I don't want to be like, oh, it doesn't matter, eat sugar, but like it happened. You have allowed yourself a certain number of days.
Well, that's the thing. I'm allowing myself the 10 days. Yeah. So now I only have 6 left.
You hadn't planned to use 3 of them in a row.
Exactly.
But, you know, you did it. It happened.
It's over.
It's over.
Moving on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think our weekends, what we learned is it wasn't really enough time. I mean,
no.
It takes like 2 or 3 days just to relax. And then you have to like be in a state of relaxation. I will say, I read Padma Lakshmi's memoir.
Oh.
Like that's kind of was my thing on the trip. And it was delightful. And it totally did like take me away.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Because it was just, I was living Padma's life. And that was very different from my own. But anyway, so I think what we need is like a self-care month. That would
be
nice.
We really do. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, we're the opposite.
Exactly.
We're now editing and writing a series document where we have to basically say what's going to happen in this show, not only for the rest of season one, but what could happen in season 2, 3 and beyond in order to try to get the network to pick up the show. So we're actually heading into a more stressful time.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Anyway, but we'll be talking about that.
And we have promised ourselves that during this time, we're going to be much kinder to ourselves than we were during the pilot.
And that's another lesson learned from Suzanne Patmore Gibbs that, you know, let's treat ourselves well.
Right.
Now.
We are fragile.
Yes. Yeah. We are more fragile than we realize.
Yes. So we are going to be kind to ourselves and maintain balance during the editing and series document writing process.
Yes.
Okay, next up, we will share this week's Hollywood hack. It is sure to up your selfie game, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Okay, Liz, here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood.
Okay, Liz, this week's Hollywood hack comes from Maren Dungey, who plays CJ in The Fix. She and Marcia Clark took a selfie together, and Marcia was holding the phone, and Maren said, nope, give it to me, because the tallest person should always hold the phone when you're doing a selfie.
Yes, and this was news to us. I guess it's because she has the longest arms and can therefore get the best angle.
Genius.
Yes.
How did we not think of this before?
Yeah, so I should have been holding the selfie all these times.
Yeah,
you
instead
and I
of me.
Take pictures. Of course, the problem is you're better at angling the camera.
But
I'm working on it.
You're the tallest person.
Yes.
And Maren is very tall. So always give the phone to the tallest person.
Sarah, I want to add my own sub-Hollywood hack to this good selfie strategy, which is get a pop socket grip for your phone. This is something I've recently discovered. It's called a pop socket.
Pop socket.
And I just got a new phone, and I, you know, so I was looking at all the accessories. And what this is, it's a little button kind of thing that sticks onto the back of your phone case, and it pops in and out.
Uh-huh.
And you can slide your fingers in it and, like, hold your phone up. So what it does is, you know that problem of holding your phone out to take a selfie but
yes.
not being able to reach the photo button? And so, like, right at the last second, your phone moves and you don't get a good picture?
Yeah.
This is the solution to that problem because you're able to hold the phone with the button as opposed – and then you can reach out your thumb and it's very easy. It's a little bit hard to describe, but just go look it up, pop socket. And it's $15.
Which is amazing.
So it's like – you know, in terms of, you know, identify the problem, which we talk about, this solves a problem that I've identified, which is not being able to both hold the phone and take the picture.
Okay, so give the phone to the tallest person and make sure you have a pop socket grip on
yes.
the back.
And you will have an amazing selfie that you can put on Instagram, hashtag happier in Hollywood.
So, Liz, it's time for our celebrity sighting segment.
Yes, and you had a celebrity sighting.
I did. So I was at a pet store on Ventura Boulevard with Violet. I'm getting Violet a rabbit for her birthday. So we were – her birthday's a couple months away, but we like to start early and, you know, look at things. So we were checking out this store to see if they have rabbit stuff. And Gina Torres was in there.
Mm.
So Gina Torres, we worked with her on Angel. She was on Firefly, The Catch, Suits on USA. She's now going to have her own Suits spinoff, which is very exciting. And she's the loveliest person. She's so tall and elegant and just
gorgeous.
But I was like, I'm not going to say hi to her. She, one, totally would not remember us. And two, we were very focused on on rabbit stuff.
Well, speaking of rabbit stuff, seeing Gina Torres is very interesting to me, but it's much more interesting that you're buying this giant Flemish rabbit. Like, tell the listeners what this
plan is.
I'm totally against it.
I think people just have to look up giant Flemish rabbit for themselves so they can fully understand.
Violet's been asking for a rabbit for her birthday.
Yes. Well, she wanted either guinea pigs or a rabbit. You said if I got guinea pigs, you would not come over to my house.
So. True, although I didn't know the alternative was like a giant monstrous rabbit.
So I said, honey, do you want a rabbit or do you want a guinea pig? And she actually picked rabbit. But we have two dogs, so I'm a little concerned about having a small, fragile rabbit. So I found this kind of rabbit called the giant Flemish rabbit. They're enormous.
They're like, some of them are the size of a collie.
Yes. And they're very good with kids. And they're hopefully not intimidated by dogs. there are tons of pictures of them online, like kind of hanging out with larger animals. So that's what we're going to get.
Well, I don't even know what to say.
I have a couple months to prepare. You have a couple months to wrap your head around it.
Mentally prepare for the giant Flemish rabbit.
It's going to be great.
And that's it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. Email us or send us a voice memo at happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe if you haven't already.
Thank you so much to Chuck Reed at Sancola Sound. Thanks to our producer, Jennifer Lai. Thanks to Odelia Rubin for helping out on this episode. Also, thanks to Kristen Meinzer and Andy Bowers of Panoply. Thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at Liz Craft and Sarah is at S. Fain. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Sarah Fain.
And I'm Liz Craft. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
So is this rabbit going to live in your house or...
It's going to be an indoor-outdoor rabbit.
Are you going to have a rabbit door?
I think I have a doggy door. I guess that can be the rabbit door now.
Okay.